AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Real takes over fake debates, authentic truth. Can't underestimate SB and Sean. Breaking through the noise, serving real talk. The genuine choice.
No pretense, no hidden schemes. Just sports, passion, fueling dreams. From the field to the court, every play that's made. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up. Over fake debates. Real takes. Over fake debates.
Takes over fake debates.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Real takes over fake debates. Sean, I see you doing a little fist bump backstage. What happened? Something good happened?
Juan Soto just hit a two-run home run.
Oh, yeah. I know for people listening, we kind of really didn't do the baseball. We probably gonna do more baseball if y'all liked it, but just so nobody surprised me and Sean, the Yankee guys, I keep telling everybody this the year. So I'm sorry if anybody else not a fan of the baseball team. I feel sorry for you. But like you said, this is real. Like I said, this is real. Takes over fake debates. But SB and Sean Webb always live every Monday and Friday, live on every platform: YouTube, Kick, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart. Follow us on that though. But Sean, how you doing today?
Doing good, SB. It's a good sports weekend coming up. Getting through these League Championship Series in baseball. We're getting to the heart of NFL season. Got some great college matchups this weekend as well. Our NBA season literally right around the corner.
Yes, sir.
WNBA Finals is going on. So this is, I think October, if we're just being honest, SB, is probably the best month if you're a sports fan. This is a good time. So I'm enjoying it. Absolutely.
I'm doing good. And I definitely enjoy this time of the year, especially when the Yankees doing good. Then we got football season. Never complain about football. And we also got college football. We actually gonna talk about college football today because Travis Hunter had a statement, a crazy kind of statement. But I'm not mad at him for saying it, but we're gonna definitely get into that. But let's go ahead and start and not keep the people waiting. Also, salute to the chat. We got Tiff in the building, True the King in the building. Oh, nice logo, True. I like that new logo, True. I like it. Salute, Go James.
King Joppy Joffer.
King Joppy. Salute, Cottage. Let's go, Baltimore. Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and get the show started, man. Another year. Kawhi Leonard is hurt. Kawhi Leonard is now out indefinitely to start the season due to knee inflation. Sean, is it time to let the Kawhi Leonard experiment go? I'm not going to ask the question that everybody keep asking. Should Kawhi retire? He just signed a three-year contract. He's not retiring. He's going to get that money. But is it time? I'm looking at it from the opposite way. Should the Clippers give up on Kawhi?
I think the Clippers should give up on Kawhi being the face of their franchise.
I can agree with that.
But obviously, they just signed him to, like you just mentioned, SB, to a three-year extension for a lot of money, which, again, if you're Kawhi's side, does not come as a massive surprise because you want the long-term stability of, to add to all the money he's already made. But certainly the reason why this is even a conversation, SB, is because obviously we know the Clippers had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard for, 5 years together. Mm-hmm. Paul George was relatively the healthier of the two, yet they made the decision you know, to, you know, essentially not offer Paul George what he wanted in free agency, which would he wanted. I believe he wanted a 5-year deal. They were only willing to offer a 3-year deal. Initially, he talked about it on his podcast. You want to know more about it, go listen to his podcast, because he talked about it a lot, you know, for whatever reason. But
SP.
so I think, you know, that's why it's a conversation. But what I do think is interesting, SB, and I think what will be interesting here is, and I'm throwing out a hypothetical here, so I don't know that I don't have this as, you know, actual information.
Wow.
I'm just hypothetical. If Kawhi is not able to play this season, and say the Clippers want to move on from him because he can't pass a physical, then they're able to essentially cut him. And as long as another NBA team doesn't pick him up, then the remainder of his salary would be covered under their insurance.
Somebody will pick Kawhi.
Well, again, if they're saying the reason why they're getting rid of him is because he can't pass a physical, that there's it's a medical decision.
Okay.
And again, it doesn't happen a lot. So let me just be very clear. I think the last time we actually saw this happen was probably Chris Bosh in Miami. Chris Bosh, different with the blood clots.
Okay.
And again, the life-threatening nature of the situation. You know, Miami released him. The remainder of his deal was covered under insurance and didn't count against their cap. So I'm not saying that's what the Clippers are doing. I'm saying that if he can't pass a physical, if he say, and again, this is assuming if he doesn't play this season, he can't pass a physical. I think serious questions from the Clippers about what you do long term with him. But, you know, it's a mess.
I mean, you can call a spade a spade, Sean. You got to call. I see you hesitate. Just call a spade a spade.
No, I'm saying it's a messed up situation because, again, you know, we know when Kawhi Leonard is healthy, type of player he is. But the fact is, he's rarely if ever healthy at this point. Has been this way for years. Mm-hmm. So I can't say I'm surprised. I thought he had no business going to join the Olympic team. I thought it was a terrible idea that he was on the Olympic team. He didn't make it through that through training camp. So to me, it just makes sense that, you know, I think the Clippers really messed the situation up. And I say that knowing what they want to do and what they're trying to be, I think they really messed the situation up.
Yeah, this situation definitely got messed up a lot and quickly because this – I remember like – I don't know. Well, I think we was arguing in the Discord. I forgot who we was arguing about, how the Clippers was like a good team. It was on Lamont's stream. We were talking about like the past champions and who was like the favorites. And the Clippers at one point in time, it was like, 2020, 2021, when him and like Paul George, they got together and they stacked that team up and they was pretty good. Cause remember they had like, I think they still had Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley. So they were stacked for a while. And I feel like this experiment is a failure, but coming into this new age of Clippers is that they got Steve Ballmer got a new stadium. I'm not going to lie. The stadium looks nice. And you also got to fill those seats in a brand new stadium because you don't put a lot of money into that stadium. But it does not help when that star that is never available. So it don't even matter if – because there's no reason – there wasn't no reason to re-sign Kawhi, especially if you want to bring back Paul George. At least if you had Paul George, you know Paul George is going to play. Kawhi is always 50-50, and the most important thing and the best thing for any player is availability. And the best thing for you as an owner when you got a new stadium and you want to fill in seats is your star player to be available. Because I hope you don't expect James Harden to turn back to the Houston James Harden. People go come to the Clippers games to see Kawhi or Paul George. I think they picked the wrong guy, but obviously Kawhi, I think he took like a cut, but he still got the extension he wanted. He wanted the years more than anything. Paul George wanted the money and the year. So I get it. And I know it's like, catch 22 right now because Paul George just got hurt too. But that was just like a freak accident. I like you said, when Kawhi's healthy, yes, he's one of the best players in the league. But the problem is when you say win healthy. And when you put that win healthy in front of it, that diminishes. I don't care how good you is because if I'm only getting 40 games out you a season, what can I really do with you, Kawhi? It's, but like I said, I get it because you got the new stadium. But if anything else outside that's filling up the stadium seats, I don't understand. Let's keep Kawhi.
Well, let me say this, SB, two quick things. One, Kawhi Leonard is basically Robin Givens' character in the movie Boomerang. In that he'll tease you when he's available, but the problem is he's never available. Mm. And his availability is usually on his terms. Mm. So, you know, that's where you get that whole thing of like, oh, you know, he's here now. So
he's here.
You know, it's great. You know,
it's great. It's looking good. Oh.
And the fans are Eddie Murphy, and the fans are like, hey, you know, this might work, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And you realize it's not going to work. So, you know, I think that's the first. But the second thing, and I think this is where it gets a little more interesting, SB. The Clippers sent out a lot of draft picks to acquire mm-hmm. Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
One of those picks is a first rounder in this upcoming draft.
And this draft is going to be nice.
That first round pick is unprotected.
Ooh-wee.
If Clippers don't make the playoffs, that makes it obviously a lottery pick.
Ooh-wee.
If it sneaks up into that top one or two, that pick belongs to Oklahoma City. We could be talking about Oklahoma City ended up with Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or someone like that. So that's where it gets even more interesting.
I vote because they got two picks because I don't think they pick going to be that high.
Well, their pick's not going to be that high. But so I'm just looking at that Clippers pick in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it gets really interesting, you know. Yeah. And so, they may listen. This is the risk of doing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, you know,
if you ain't get no championship, time to rebuild.
You know, so
I said, look, man, you better go trade for one of them young stars. Yeah, Cooper Flagg or OKC, because then it gets to a point. OKC, they got so much young talent, and they actually like winning now. Where it's like, how you gonna pay all these guys? If OKC Thunder make another good push, they not gonna be able to keep everybody. Some people gonna have to go. Now, right. You want to trade it and get a star out of it, but everybody, you're not going to be able to keep Shea, Chet, Williams, maybe Lou Dirt might be one gone, but then you go add Cooper Flagg and they just added Caruso. Man, yeah, that Thunder. Shout out to the Thunder's GM. I'm not going to lie. I am not going to lie. Shout out. He doing his job.
And again, this is where when you just, and I want to say this, and we keep pressing upon this. This is why the new CBA is so important, because it made first round picks and draft picks so much more valuable.
Which they are.
You want someone who's mortgaged your future picks to, mm-hmm. you know, bring in, you know, talent that you think is going to push you into championship contention. The risk is if it doesn't work out and your team isn't as good as you think you're going to be, mm-hmm. obviously those picks have no real protections around them or limited protections around them. Mm-hmm. You know, you could miss out on, you know, potentially a game-changing player, right? I mean, and I'll just throw out this real quick example. The Clippers, when they made a trade with Cleveland back in 2010 or so, mm-hmm. and it included a first-round pick. That mm-hmm. first-round pick ended up being Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie. So that's what I'm saying. So it's just that's the risk. So it's just – it's one of those things where, and again, I think teams are a little more prone to put protections around picks now, but
you still better. You better.
At a certain point, you know, you got to pay the piper, you know, yeah. And, you know, and sometimes when you got to pay the piper, you're not necessarily ready to pay the piper, you know, so mm-hmm. that's the other kind of side of it too. So, you know, I think again, you know, Clippers are, it's going to be a very interesting time for them these next couple of years, but we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Let me know. What you guys think? Should the Clippers have moved on from Kawhi Leonard? Comment down below. But comment on the video. Make sure you guys like, share, and also subscribe. So, obviously, you know, my boy Derrick Rose retired. So, Derrick Rose went on Club 520, Jeff Teague podcast. It's a pretty – I give them their credit. They've been doing their things. And I never realized how much Jeff Teague has been a part of, like, the NBA history of what I know. Like, it'd be like stories he's saying. It'd be like – Jeff T just randomly be there. He randomly a part of the team during the time when the crazy stuff happened. they also he was talking about like the Derrick Rose 50 points. But what the main thing that stuck out to me though was Derrick Rose had a point where he said Michael Jordan wouldn't have been as legendary if he played outside of Chicago. And how Derrick Rose was talking and me understanding from the point of being Chicago, I know we're going to differ on this one, but I 1,000% agree. I don't think, because Jordan wasn't like a guy, the NBA bougie NBA player. Jordan used to play in the gym.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
With the people in Chicago hoop, so I done heard stories about Jordan just hooping open. Obviously, everybody old NBA talent level, but I think the environment and the culture that Jordan embodied of Chicago definitely took him to that legendary status, that GOAT status level, where, because I think Derrick Rose's point was coming from like the culture and the impact of the city of Chicago. Because I think the big market thing, he could, if he was in LA, New York, the market thing would have probably hit the same. But the culture of Chicago, where it's like, it's a big market, but it's blue collar, where you going to get praised when you work hard. People going to challenge you every day. They don't care that you Michael Jordan. I bet you can't do this. I bet you can't win another one. People, and Michael Jordan feeds off that competition. Mike's personality helped him embrace the Chicago culture, and it didn't like break him. So I think Chicago molded, Jordan was going to be great, but Chicago molded him to being the GOAT MJ, in my opinion. So I agree with Derrick Rose in this quote. I think Jordan still would have been great, but I think Chicago turned him to another level. That's why his shoes still popular. I Chicago deserves credit on that one for me.
SB, do you have the clip by chance?
I think I still do got it. Actually, do I got it? Yes, I do. Actually, I did save it. Let's run a clip to hear it exactly. It's from Club 520, Derrick Rose on Jeff Teague's podcast, talking about Michael Jordan wouldn't be Michael Jordan out of Chicago.
MJ wouldn't be MJ if he played anywhere else but Chicago. He would have been a great player anywhere else, but in Chicago, he became the Black Cat. He became MJ in Chicago. Just off the strength of the culture that's in Chicago, the basketball culture is just strong. The expectation of, all right, what you gonna do? We seen niggas like you back in the 60s. All right, you supposed to bend and elevate the game and doing something different. Like, what's next? MJ won them three. I guarantee you he had people in this corner like, yeah, you just went on vacay, nigga. They ain't finna let you come back and win three more. Round and win one. I bet you can't win another one.
And while Darryl, that's how people in Chicago talk. Like, then I guarantee Jordan went through that. But y'all, I want to hear your take on it, though.
So, SB, you know, this is a reminder that Derrick Rose should have went to class while he was in Memphis.
Oh, come on now, Sean. Oh, no. Come on.
He could not be more wrong. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So, the first thing we talked about, he became the Black Cat in Chicago. Mm-hmm. No. He became the Black Cat at North Carolina.
Okay.
And the reason why was because he was in a situation where Dean Smith did not want to put him out front like that. Now, remember, Jordan was not the most heavily recruited guy out of high school.
No.
Right. He went down into the camp at UNC, had a great camp, you know, and they were like, hey, we're going to make you an offer. They made him an offer, and obviously he went to NC. He wasn't even a North Carolina fan. He was in more of an NC State fan growing up. That he loved David Thompson. Why David Thompson ultimately was the one who, you know, helped induct him into the Hall of Fame and not Dean Smith or anybody else. So, you know, let's just put that context in. But he went down there, and it was basically Dean Smith and Roy Williams and other guys who were on that staff who were helping craft that so-called Black Cat. Now, don't get it twisted. there are some people who are so great and have this individual thing with them that they transcend market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jordan is, you know, grade A on that list. He was, remember when he came in, and I want people to understand, when he came in, David Falk and their agency, their whole plan, David Falk's agency, they were an agency that represented tennis players, right? They didn't necessarily represent basketball players. So they came in with my idea that we're going to market this guy as a great individual. Now don't get me wrong, they got to win. Eventually they got to win. And if we're just being honest, the Bulls sucked before Jordan got there.
Yeah, we was trash.
The city of Chicago is a Bears town first and foremost.
That's true.
Right? So I understand what Derrick Rose is trying to say. I'm telling you, but there's more to it than just in Chicago. And again, Chicago, second city, blah, blah, blah. There's a little bit of, like you talk about, kind of that underdog, that little bit of the Midwest thing. I'm not disputing that at all, because I do understand that. I rock with you. I rock with a lot of brothers from the Shy. So I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just talking about that. That effort in particular would have did it anywhere. Because
Chicago took you here, I'm trying to tell you.
He could have been in Timbuk freaking two and would have became that dude, because he was just like that. And again, I'm not taking nothing away from the city. Mm-hmm. I got much love for the city. That dude, I'm talking about that dude.
That guy right behind her. Two, three.
Yeah, that dude, you know, is something about him. And again, and I'm talking, when you talk about him, talk about him in the same, talking about just his presence, the athlete he was. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple guys who were in that same conversation. Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, and him. Wherever them guys go, they bring it with them. So nothing against Derrick Rose, but you should have went to class, because you would have gotten a better history lesson to understand why, not taking anything away from Chicago, but why he in particular is
to Derrick Rose's point, he did say Jordan's still gonna be a great player.
I'm saying, and again, you know, I don't believe in universal goats. Right. I'm saying he would have transcended wherever he went. And that's why he's in the GOAT conversation when people talk about GOATs, because it's not about where you play. It's, do you transcend? He did.
So Sturdy got this is the point I'm saying. Sturdy got a good question too. And that's what the point I'm saying. He said, Sean, do you believe certain cities could enhance the perception of players like Magic with the Lakers and Bird with the Boston, LA? I do agree with that. I think Chicago, don't get me wrong, Magic would have still been a good player no matter he went. Same thing with Bird. But playing in those markets or playing in those basketball love heavy town. I know Chicago, we get the thing about it is a Bears town. People still treat the 85 Bears like they walk on water. They don't even talk about Jordan 6 rings like that. When it's the conversation between those, so they'll take the 85 Bears. I agree with you there. But Chicago, the basketball coach and embrace, Chicago loves basketball. And I'm trying to tell you, I want you to ask a study question, but I agree that certain cities do boost guys up to another level, because it's past your basketball greatness where they made Jordan like a Chicago made Jordan like an untouchable myth thing like that, man. Like it went from Black Cat in North Carolina, he was Chicago, he's Black Jesus. But I want to hear you answer this third question.
Do I believe certain cities could have? Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, I don't even want to say it's cities, I think it's franchises.
I agree with that.
Because I don't think it's necessarily cities. I think, you play in a big market like LA, New York, you know, whatever. But I think it's certain franchises that you play for, and that's in any sport. You play for the Lakers, you play for the Cowboys, you play for the Yankees. It's a different animal because of how those franchises are marketed. And those franchises are generally marketing giants. But I also believe too, I think when you go to certain places, there's a reason why some guys don't work in certain areas. Right? Mm-hmm. There's some guys, a talent. So, you know, and I'm going to use Philadelphia as an example, SB. There's great players who've gone to Philly.
Great.
Philly likes great, but what Philly loves more than great is all-out effort.
Right.
All-out effort. Leave it on the field. Leave it on the court. Mm-hmm. There's a guy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame safety, played for the Eagles for many years. Mm-hmm. The reason why Brian Dawkins is so beloved is he left it on the field. But Brian Dawkins was gonna do that wherever he went. It just happens in a place like Philly where that is
embraced more. Yeah, that man Brian Dawkins was a maniac, bro. I'm trying to tell you, I wouldn't want to get hit by him in his prime at all. I'm good on that.
You know, and I say that as you know, Brian Dawkins went to we went to the same high school. He's older than I am, obviously, but. What I'm saying is a different that was in him before he got to Philly.
Right.
Philly put it on the national stage, which is what mm-hmm. I was thinking about Jordan. Mm-hmm. Jordan going to Chicago, the Bulls come up, and it's happening in the early prime of Jordan, put it on the national stage, but that was already in him. And that's what I mean about wherever he goes, he's gonna be that guy. It's just some guys are just like that. And again, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win wherever he goes, but I'm talking about the individual, him.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is.
No, he was ideal.
Yeah. It's, and I'll say this real quick, and I know I'm going to move on. Phil Jackson was asked about Kobe and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Kobe has what Michael had. Michael just had it times 10.
Mm. Okay.
Anybody that's been around that dude knows he's just a different animal. Mm-hmm. He's just a different dude. So that's what I mean. So it's not just again, not slighting the city of Chicago, Chi-Town, love you. Can't wait to see you in the summer because it's getting cold.
Let's get cold now. Let's get cold. Yeah.
But you know, but that said, I think people really need to understand it's just some guys, not everybody, but some guys will transcend wherever they go. They're just that good. Mm-hmm.
Cause True had a quick point, so I know we got to move on. True had a point where he was saying, like, I think Jordan would have the same impact. A lot of franchises, the East Coast market love Jordan. Yeah, but now I'm just saying, I don't think Jordans would have hit the shoes the Jordans, even though how good Jordan was if he played for Charlotte. All I'm just saying, being in Chicago, more people here, more people talk about Chicago. I'm just saying, but we agree to disagree on this one, but. I'll tell you, my boy Derrick Rose got to stay in class. Derrick Rose, okay, man.
No, he needs to go to class.
No. Shout out my boy Rose. No Rose slander.
Yeah, take your Rose butt to class.
But Sean, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are always up to something. At least I can always say they're in the news for good reason more the Steelers. But I remember you said on stream, Mike Tomlin does a good job of keeping everything organized. Like, very wearing franchise. He makes sure the Steelers are winning properly and he avoid all the drama and noise. Because perfect example, this with any other franchise, the noise have been going crazy about this story. Because the one thing you said, Sean, have you noticed? And this is when the Steelers were either like 3-0 or 3-1, whatever, but they was winning. They was hot. You said, have you noticed that Mike Tomlin has never officially announced Justin Fields at the start? Because he knew at some point in time, Russell Wilson will be back starting. And he did a lot of practice reps with the first string guys. And we also know with the trade, how the trade works, they did. If Russell Wilson plays more snaps or Justin Fields plays X amount of snaps, they get the pick goes up. I think it goes from what, a fifth to a fourth or a fourth to a third?
Yeah, I think a sixth to a fourth or something like that.
To a fourth. So the rumors get to going crazy because George Pickens said he spent more time with quarterback Russell Wilson, that's still a pack. So that means Russell Wilson are taking the first string reps. But also, you know, people ask Justin Fields about it. And I'm shocked he said that, you know, with the people who have people commenting and everything. Justin Fields said he feel like he didn't play well enough to keep his starting job, which is an honest perspective to have. So what is your honest assessment of it? Do you think Russell Wilson should be starting? And what do you think about what Justin Fields said?
So let me answer your first question. The first question is, do I think Russell Wilson should be starting? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. The reason why I don't think Russell Wilson should be starting is not because I don't think Russell Wilson can play.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Steelers, as an organization, have largely been an organization that's always taken the long view.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they get praised the way they do as an organization. This is well before Mike Tomlin. This is going back Bill Cowher, Chuck Knoll.
Steel Curtain.
This goes back 55 years. They are an organization that takes the long view. Mm-hmm. When they have taken the short view, it has cost them in the past. And I'll give you an example, SB.
Okay.
1984 draft, one of the best drafts.
Before my time.
I was a kid, so you know, I'm just giving you the history. So the first pick of the draft in 1984 was John Elway.
Mm-hmm. Right?
John Elway. There were six quarterbacks taken in the first round. That was kind of the modern era where you start to see quarterbacks really getting taken in the first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh Steelers were just out of their, you know, 70s run, things like that. They had an aging Terry Bradshaw, but, you know, they were out of their run. And they were getting ready to, you know, make a draft pick. They had a kid who came out of their backyard, went to University of Pittsburgh by the name of Dan Marino, who was on the clock, who was, was available when Pittsburgh was on the clock. Pittsburgh made the decision to pass on Dan Marino to take a defensive tackle. And I'll say, I think Gabe Rivera, I believe it was his name.
Well, they screwed that one up.
His nickname was Senior Sack. And when you watch him on tape, you understand why they took him, because he fit. Mm. What they were trying to do was recreate and rebuild what they had in the 70s with their defense with Joe Green and Jack Lambert and Jack all those great players. Unfortunately, Gabe Rivera got in a really bad car accident in his rookie season, ended up being paralyzed.
Oh, that sucks.
Right. They didn't know. Obviously, you don't know that's going to happen.
Right.
But the idea was, had they taken Marino, they would have had a bridge from Bradshaw to, you know, their
Marino.
Next quarterback. Bradshaw ended up getting hurt. I think he had a shoulder injury that year, and that was basically kind of the end of his career. But we largely praise the Steelers for being a long-term view team.
Yes.
To me, the reason why they're doing this is because they are desperate to win a playoff game. They have not won a playoff game in 7 years.
They need one.
I'm not saying they don't need one, but what they really need is to figure out if Justin Fields is their long-term answer at quarterback. Can he be your long-term answer at quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
I heard what Justin Fields said, and I think Justin Fields, from what I know, and you know this from watching him in Chicago, he is someone who's very tough on himself. He is his own worst.
Yes.
Justin Fields has not played badly. They've asked him to not take a lot of chances, i.e. he's only thrown one interception.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not pushing the ball down the field. Now, some of that, I think, is they're asking Justin Fields not to do too much, but also they don't have a lot of talent in their skill positions.
Yeah.
You know, outside. Outside of George Pickens, who, again, can be very hit or miss.
NFL young boy, that's what I call it, NFL young boy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's one of those guys where it's like, you know, you just don't know what you're always going to get from him. I think some of it is just a function of how they've asked him to play, but they just don't have a lot, which is why they were in on Davante Adams. They're going to still be in the trade market probably for another receiver. I don't think Russell Wilson necessarily fixes that. This ain't 2019. Seattle moved on from Russell Wilson, and let's be honest, they haven't missed a beat.
Nope.
Denver has moved on from Russell Wilson, and we just saw what they did last night to my Saints.
I want to bring it up. I know you probably don't want to talk
about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. We moved on. I'm in Yankee mode, in Seminole mode right now. The point is, you know, if you think Russell Wilson is the answer or fixes something, I don't see it. And I haven't seen that in 5 years. And that's not a slight against Russell Wilson. We're just being honest. So figure out, is Justin Fields, can he be our long-term answer? That's the job. Figure that out. And that's how you have always operated as an organization. But I think the issue is they have not won a playoff game in 7 years, and they think Russell Wilson gives them a better chance to win a playoff game right now than Justin Fields, and that's why they're making the change.
It's true. Say still is not for. I think it's a mistake by Pittsburgh part. I don't think it's a mistake by Pittsburgh part because I know why they're doing it. They Mike Tomlin gonna find a way no matter who at quarterback. He gonna find a way to get to them 8 games no matter what. But they're doing it so this pick can be worth something because the Steelers don't play to have high first round pick. So those late that fifth pick to going to what a third or fourth, whatever the sixth, whatever going up means a lot to the Steelers. And we all know, and Mike Tomlin is smart enough to know that this team not competing for a Super Bowl. So at the end of the day, you got to add more talent, like you said. And we also going to talk about a receiver who possibly could be available, see should the Steelers trade for him. But I think that's what it is. I think, like you just said, they're trying to play the long game, not trying to do something drastically. Because if that was the case, Justin Fields would have been announced the starter when they was doing well. But they know that Justin Fields need to play an X amount of snaps. I think he only got what? If he played two more games, then the pick is a six. So I think we're gonna see Russ, unless Russ get hurt or he just playing that terrible. Like, it's like obvious that he don't need to be on the field and put Justin Fields back on. So I understand his move, and I'm not mad at it. But I do have a problem with Justin Fields being hard on himself. I love the honesty, but it's just like, bro, you weren't garbage. You weren't terrible. You could be better. Yes, 100% you could be better. But you're not terrible enough where it's like, hey, I don't think I should be starting or kept my job. No, I'm agreeing. But I understand what the Steelers doing.
I think, SB, the thing about Justin Fields and any when you're in any situation like this, I think the big thing for them is, again, did they put him in the best position to maximize his skill set so far? And I think to a limited basis, yes. But again, I go back to that is not a very strong that's not a very strong receiving core at all.
No.
I'm not going to rank it among NFL receiving cores, but it's just not a very strong receiving core. And again, you know, they've also had some issues on the offensive line, which again, So they've had issues on the offensive line for really the last couple of years, if we're being honest. And again, this is not me stepping on the Steelers. I have all the respect in the world for the Steelers organization, but it's not been a good offensive line. They're not really dynamic offensively. The dynamic they've added with Justin Fields is his ability to use his legs. It's not going to be aesthetically pretty. And again, short of Justin Fields being perfect or, you know, coming out and having just these mind-blowing games for the last 6 years, I thought he did the job. He helped them win football games. He helped them get to 4-2. But I do question, again, from the Steelers organization, maybe they're saying our future quarterback isn't on this roster.
Now I can agree with that because I think Justin Fields should start, and also I think last King of Scotland, he said Justin Fields just not it. I think Justin Fields is good enough to start, yes, but has he solidified the job to be the quarterback of the future? Because his contract should be up this year. No, I'm saying he ain't played good enough to say this is our future quarterback, but he played good enough to start.
And that's what I'm saying. 6 games, they're 4-2. It hasn't been perfect, but it hasn't been terrible, right? Yeah, he's had some moments where you're like, okay, this is why you get excited about Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. But they understood Justin Fields was a project. And again, 6 games, and you're winning. Now, if Russell starts on Sunday night, as we presume he will, and they lose to the Jets, I think this is a very, very different conversation. Because you know, the people use the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. No, the saying is, if it ain't broke, don't break it.
Ain't broke, don't That's true.
So I think that's what I'm looking at with the Steelers. It's not broken right now. Does it need to get better? Absolutely.
100%.
And the real question is, and again, this is just me watching, having watched Russell Wilson over the last few years, is Russell Wilson going to bring a dynamic to them that Justin Fields does not? I don't think so.
It ain't like Russell Wilson just dotting the passes up. Like, he just go dot them up or make the receivers get open better or make the line protect better.
Right.
Actually, it might make it harder because Russell Wilson can't run.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why Sean Payton couldn't wait to run him out of Denver is because he would take the unnecessary sacks. He would do the unnecessary things. That's why he ran him out of Denver. He couldn't wait to get rid of him. That's why they're paying him $85 million over the next two seasons not to be in Denver.
Yeah, it's crazy. They paying you to get. Yeah, they said, yeah, brother, we gonna pay you to stay over there. Just no. We have paid a tab. It's a little extra. No, we have paid the tab. Don't worry. Yeah. Just go
back to Seattle. Seattle. Then Russell said, hey, I'd like to be traded. They didn't argue. They say, hey, man, we want to keep. No, hey, you know what?
Russ, you want to leave? No, Russ. Open the door slightly. Oh man, Russ.
Hey, you know, you want to leave? Hey, let me get you back. Let me help you pack. Where you want to go? Hey, you got these four teams? Oh, okay, we'll get you.
Okay, we'll get you to Denver.
No problem. And we're gonna get a haul for you. And that's exactly what they did. So again, I'm saying, and again, this is not me stepping on Russell Wilson. I'm just saying, is this an upgrade? And I don't think it is. But also, again, Pittsburgh trying to win a playoff game because they ain't won a playoff game in 7 years. And that, to me, is all this comes down to.
We'll see. But I'm telling you, Sean, Russell Wilson will be starting the rest of the game unless he just come out play horrific. And is Bo Nix better than Russ right now? Yes, 100% Bo Nix is better than Russ right now.
Yeah, and Bo Nix did the craziest thing I've ever seen. He had two guys wide open last night one was a little deep, one was more shallow, and he literally threw the ball in between the two of them. Incomplete. And that's who they got rid of Russ to get. So yeah. I'm just saying,
He better than Russ right now, though. I ain't gonna lie. You know. I laughed at him. I laughed at the Broncos for getting him, still laughing, but hey, he better than Russ, though. They got a cheaper replacement. Now, speaking of replacements, since we on the Steelers, let's go to the wide receiver story first. So obviously we dropped videos on it. So I don't know if you guys are looking for it. We already dropped videos on the Davante Adams and Amari Cooper. So go to the channel, go ahead, go watch it, man. Go watch it, drop a like. Also in the audio platforms, we drop those episodes too. Go give it a listen. But two receivers gone, and heck up another one in the rumor mill. Obviously, D-Hop is in the trade rumors. I think they always talk about trade D-Hop every year, which is crazy. But he already said he loves where he at in Tennessee. Pittsburgh is one team on the list. I would say they should trade for D-Hop. If you agree with Pittsburgh, or what other team you think should be calling Tennessee to get D-Hop off the team?
Baltimore.
I think Baltimore would be nice. He don't got to do too much either in Baltimore either.
Right.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That's it for you. Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Kansas City.
You know what I'm gonna say too. The Chargers. We need them too. We need them. So I heard we might try to get Mike Williams back because they finna let Mike Williams go too.
Well, they can't just let him go. They're gonna trade him.
They trade him. Yeah,
$15 million this year. So, Mm-hmm. But no, I would say this. He sounds like he's playing good soldier, saying I love where I am.
Nashville hot wings, you know, every after the game, who would want to be in there?
Nashville is a pretty nice city. Good to go to Dave and Buster's. I think, you know, he's playing, you know, good sport right now, and you can't be mad with him for that. You know, obviously, he's a free agent after this season as well, so you know, he's probably, you know, thinking about, you know, what his future is going to be. Obviously, I don't think it's in Tennessee at this point. But you know, it's one of those.
D-Hop's still solid.
Yeah, D-Hop, again, I think the thing we have to realize is that, you know, a receiver is only going to be as good as a quarterback who can, you know, find a way to
get the ball. Agree with that.
So, you know, I don't want to say D-Hop is washed or anything like that because I don't think that's the case. I just think they don't have a very good quarterback play right now from mayonnaise. So. You know, you know why I call mayonnaise.
It's funny. Anybody don't know, it's a coffee thing.
Right, yeah. It has nothing to do with his skin complexion. He puts mayonnaise in his coffee, and it's the most
weird thing
I've ever heard in my life.
And Sean, have you ever seen the movie Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell? I'm sorry. And then I feel like this would be D Hop response to it. Remember seeing when he was like, "Don't wish that evil on me, Ricky Bobby." D Hop do not want to go to the Patriots. True. Don't wish that evil on him. Don't wish that evil on him. True. No, you better not do it. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. You better not do it. But yes, also go James for what we were talking about. Yes, D Hop is still solid. He could be a great number two. And in the Ravens situation, he could be perfect. Just the guy when they need to get a big play, a big catch, and somebody that he could go to, Lamar Jackson go to, get a quick, easy play, then yes. Because then Mark Andrews, you got Derrick Henry, of course. Because I think at the end of the day, their number one powerhouse is the 1-2 punch of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Drake May better than Will Levis. I mean, you comparing like spoiled milk to like another thing spoiled, you know. Or
hey, this is my prediction. T. Higgins will be Drake May's number one receiver next season.
Oh, I get actually, because T. Higgins want to get paid, and the Patriots will pay him.
He's gonna get paid. Yeah,
Higgins gonna get paid. Yeah, we can see that. But also, speaking of that, since we in a trade mill rumor, Max Crosby. Remember, I threw this theory out there earlier when we was talking about the Lions. When they was talking about trade Devontae, and they was like, "You give it to Devontae Adams, might as well give it to Max Crosby, too." So Max Crosby finally said something about, well, he don't want to be on the team that's rebuilding. He want to win. I'm telling you, Sean, the Lions need to do whatever they got to do to make this happen. Now, there's other places where Max Crosby can go, but I'm telling you, with Hutchinson being out for the season, you got to go get Max Crosby because you can't stop. This is the year, Detroit. You cannot stop the fold. Y'all spanked the Cowboys handedly. Y'all look like a way better team. This is what y'all going to be missing with Hutchinson. And they're probably going to go take one game for them to realize, like, okay, we see what we're missing. And I'll make that crawl. I don't care what, a first and a third. And knowing the Raiders, they might not even give up that much. Hey, Sean, I don't know. I want to hear what you say before I tell you other things, but I'm telling you the Lions need to make this move. And would you trade Max Crosby? And who should trade for Max Crosby?
So the projected trade I saw, if the Lions did it, would be 2 first-rounders, a third rounder, and James Houston. One of their defensive ends. That's a lot to give up for Max Crosby. But we know Max Crosby is great. We get it. We understand it. If I'm the Lions, I'm not. That's a reactive move, right? Yeah,
that's a little too much.
It's a reactive move. And again, but if you're talking about Matt trying to get Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or someone of that ilk, it's going to take that to even have conversations with these teams. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that type of move. I think the move for them is to call the Jets about Hassan Reddick, mm-hmm. who's not playing because he's in a contract dispute. He's in the last year of his deal. Now, mm-hmm. the catch is, if the Jets trade Hassan Reddick to an NFC team, the pick they traded to the Eagles becomes a second-round pick. So the Jets do that to give the Eagles a second round pick in that because of the Hassan Reddick trade. So you're talking maybe Hassan Reddick, you're talking to Za'Darius Smith, you know, as well, you know, from Cleveland. I think it'll be, you know, again, do you call Carolina about Clowney? It's going to be a step below the Max Crosbys and the Myles Garretts. Mm-hmm. Those guys are just way too valuable, not just to those teams' defenses, but to those franchises, just to give away like that. I don't see either of those happening at all.
Yeah, I'm gonna say because the next place that I can really see him going, because they also think about like the Raiders probably don't want to trade Max Crosby to no AFC teams, especially not no team in the division. So I'm not gonna say no dumb stuff like the Chargers and the Chiefs. I know darn well they would not trade us. But I think obviously the Bears would be good. I also think, no lie, I don't know about the Falcons money scenario looking like. I wouldn't mind him going to the Falcons too. I think Max Crosby to the Falcons would be a nice boost to their pass rush on their defense.
Yeah, I just think talking about Max Crosby getting traded is it's just not happening. It would literally take him going to the Raiders and saying, "Get me out of here." he is he. I mean, was can we be honest? He's the face of their franchise.
Yeah. Now, yeah, is it?
And was probably that nothing against Davante Adams, but I think he was that before even the Davante Adams trade.
Yeah.
In terms of he was homegrown, they drafted him, you know, late, you know, out of Eastern Michigan. So you know, that's just not how they don't want us to just get rid of the face of their franchise, right? And again, I understand he doesn't want to rebuild, but
And true, the Ravens can't get everybody. He said Max, True said Max Crosby to the Ravens. The Ravens ain't getting everybody now. Ain't nobody finna boost the Ravens up like that. Mm-mm. But I think this is the start of it. He said, I'm not here to rebuild. That's the start of it. So we will see how it goes. Next up on the list, young Travis Hunter, two-way star, Heisman candidate, is in the news because he was on a podcast with RG3. And RG3 asked him, how do you feel about the Heisman race? Travis Hunter said, I mean, y'all see Ashton Jr. It's not like we haven't seen a running back that's good. We haven't seen a player that plays both ways, and I'm going to keep saying that. And that was just his argument from the point of him being a Heisman, why he should win a Heisman, because he said he put up great numbers on both sides. Also, he brought up the fact of Ishaan Jisri's carry numbers, that he got 95 carries, which he said, if I had got 95 targets on offense, what you think my stats would look like? If I got targeted 95 times on defense, what you think my stats would look like? I think Travis Hunter got a good case. Right now, I think Travis, if it ain't Travis, it could be Cam Ward. Janty could be in that conversation too. But if I had to pick between them two right now, I'll probably go Travis. But what you say about this?
So first, I did not care for him using Ashton Jeanty as his kind of proxy. A running back is going to have more touches than a receiver, generally speaking, right? If a receiver has 95 catches after five games, either A, he's not being covered at all, or B, every team they play sucks. So it's not a fair, it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Right.
That's the first thing. Second thing is, I'm not saying Travis Hunter is not having an amazing season. He is. And I understand why winning a Heisman, you become a part of a fraternity. Not everybody has won a Heisman. Right? Mm-hmm. That's why it's such a, you know, prestigious, the most prestigious award in college football. Mm-hmm. But I do think two things, SB. I think one, if Colorado is not ranked and there are Heisman candidates on teams that are ranked, I think voters are going to vote for them over Travis Hunter. So the issue should not be Travis Hunter. The issue should be, is Colorado good enough to be ranked and to get in the top 25 so Travis Hunter has more of a case for winning the Heisman, because the Heisman Trophy winner usually comes from a winner. It doesn't usually come from a team that's, you know, not as unranked. So that, to me, is the greater conversation. And this is not about his talent. This is about that team. And again, that team's having a pretty good season, but Cam Ward is on a team that's undefeated. I don't know what record is right off, but I do believe they're ranked. I think they're ranked as well. And again, Ashton Jeanty's having a great season. There's other guys who are having, you know, Heisman worthy seasons, if you will.
Yeah.
So that to me is it. But it's not going to be about so much his individual numbers. It's going to be, to me, for him, because of the positions that he plays, his impact on winning.
Do you think that Jeanty being a running back at Boise State, that compared like who he played against, do you think that might hurt his chance to winning?
I mean, I think they'll look at competition certainly, but I think again it's going to be one of those things where he's averaging over 10 yards a carry.
Every time he touches the ball is a first down. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean that is insane.
That's wild.
And again, can you name anybody else he's playing with? That's all I'm going to say. So my point is sometimes guys just have that special type season, right? Barry Sanders, when he won the Heisman, if you go back and look at the numbers from his Heisman season, it was an amazing, crazy season. So, you know, sometimes it comes down to that. I just think, again, for me with Travis Hunter, again, didn't like him, you know, making the comparison being to Ashton Gentry, because, again, it's not apples to apples. Do two very different things for your team. If it's about numbers, the numbers aren't going to compare in that way. For me, with him, that obviously not just as a receiver, but also as a cornerback, is going to be impact on winning. And that's it. And the big thing for him, too, is get through this season healthy, because he got hurt in the last game. We didn't talk about it, but this is one of the things that some of the NFL teams and scouts are going to be concerned about. He's not the biggest guy, obviously, and he's playing 120 snaps a game. You know, this is what teams are going to be very concerned about.
And Durst Crazy, by the way,
be the greater concern than, you know, the Heisman and Ashton Gentry for me.
Yeah, no, for me, I like only thing I did like about it was like the competition talk, where you was like, okay, you got confidence, believe yourself, point. And I think, like you, we were talking about it before the show, like Travis is for future rep, because he's going to be a pro, he's going to be in the NFL. He got to get better at knowing how to answer those questions like the right way, because, well, RG3, which not purposely did, because I know RG3 was like, no, I want you to be honest, say the truth, you know what I'm saying? You got to know how to still answer the question in the right way to, that it won't stir up controversy. Because now, when you go to the NFL level, with any little thing, they're going to bring it up. Let when he don't get to play both sides of the ball, they're going to try to bring up that controversy. Hey, Travis, how you feel that, you know, you playing both sides of the ball? And they can wait for you to just say something about your coach. So he got to lock in on that. But it could go either way right now with the Heisman. Like I said, I still got Travis right now, but you can't deny what Gentry is doing. It's like video game, like this stuff you put up in the video game type numbers. And what Travis is doing, playing as many snaps as he playing college football with no fatigue on. So it could go either way. And also, like you said, there's other guys that they're talking about too. So, and I think winning, with the end all be all, winning is going to be the main factor, because if you give somebody the Heisman who's not ranked or not competing for a college playoff spot, how would that make it look? It'll make the trophy seem bad. Right. We've seen a lot of guys that was talented, could have been more talented players, but they didn't get the award.
Right. And just for point of reference, Boise State is ranked 15th in the country.
I'll see. And right now, I believe Colorado is not ranked at the moment, right?
They're not ranked. They're Colorado is not ranked.
So you got to get if he get Boise State to be ranked in the top 10, it'll be hard to deny him the Heisman from that point then. Because, like, who had Boise State in the top 25 this year? I don't believe nobody was talking about Boise State like that. If they was, but I could be wrong. Since we're on the subject of college, let's go ahead and get to this. Tony Bennett, former head coach of the Virginia college basketball, suddenly retired. He said college, he feels like the college game is not in a healthy sport right now, a healthy spot right now. Sean, where is this coming from? He says that's in a healthy spot. Is the health of the players? Is NIL? I'm lost. What's going on with this story? What's going on with Tony?
I think what he's talking about is obviously NIL, but not just NIL, but also, you know, student athletes receiving revenue. Again, we've talked about this previously, SB. There's not really real regulation around compensation for student athletes. It needs to get to the point where it is closer to the pro model. There needs to be collective bargaining. There does need to be a salary pool. There does need to be a salary cap at some point.
It do. And guarantee the kids get their money. If somebody promised them money, like we see with the guy at UNLV, where he said allegedly he was a promise to serve my money, didn't receive a dollar.
Right. So I think there's, if you're a guy or a person who's coached in the previous era and you're coming into this new era and you see that you're trying to coach and you're trying to compete and put together a winning program, and it's not just about, and again, I want to make sure I preface, winning program is not, we just won one year. It's the consistency of being competitive as a winning program over a period of years. If you're one of those coaches in one of those schools and you're looking around and saying, we don't have the same pockets as other schools.
Yep.
A lot of coaches are making the decision, hey, I would just rather, you know, not even, you know, be involved at this level. You know, and so, you know, I think we're going to see, this isn't going to be the first time we see this. I think this is going to continue to happen until they start to put some regulation around it.
True got a good question. He said, what a salary cap in college means, potential lockouts, laugh out loud.
Well, I think, again, if you have it, so depends, True, because I think it depends. So if you have student athletes that have a union and a union who's representing their interests, and again, that's part of collective bargaining, that each school, as of right now, I don't know too many schools who've gone through this model yet. I know there's some schools who've talked about doing it, but basically, your student athletes unionize.
Mm-hmm.
Their union represents the interest of those athletes at that particular school, you know, to that school who's saying, hey, here's what we're willing to pay out and contractually willing to pay players and pay athletes.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. But then here's where it gets interesting. The transfer portal. So what if a kid is at one school, enters the transfer portal, even though they've signed an agreement to be at this school and they've been paid by this school, they decide to enter the transfer portal. What does that look like? Do they have to pay that money back? Does the school who's trying to acquire the player have to play buy that player out? So there's a lot of different factors, again, that the NCAA did not do
well
around in terms of trying to put some, you know, structure and regulation around it. And that, to me, is why we're reaching the crescendo that we are as it relates to NIL and paying students.
See, when I seen the NIL come into play, my mindset was just like, okay, it's not going to be the way you can't go. Somebody can't give you an egg sandwich or something. Like, you pretty much anything that got to do with your name, you're just going to get compensated. That's how I thought it was. But obviously, you know, these boosters and school stuff, you know, people are trying to finesse it to make things worse than what it has to be or make stuff out of control. I think everybody likes that college players are getting paid. But I do have to agree, it needs to be some type of structure. Or just like you said, if it ain't necessarily salary caps, make it be contracts. Also, make sure the NCAA has to do their part to have a middleman to go over these contracts with these students to make sure they're not signing bad contracts and deal with the school putting loopholes or anything in their contracts. Like, it should be like, okay, so say if, like, it's this young four-star that want to go to Virginia. They got a deal and probably say, we're going to help you get a sponsorship for the NIL to come to our school, but also you got to stay at least 2 years. Now, I think it should go to the NCAA office so they can read through the contract, make sure ain't no loopholes, and be like, if you leave or injured or something, like, they try to finesse the kid out of the situation. I think that will help more. It has to be more structured. It has to be more involvement with the NCAA. I feel like they just threw, okay, y'all get paid, and just left it out to the Wild Wild West. And it's been honestly terrible. The only thing good about this came from the NIL so far is that college players are getting paid. Everything else surrounding everything that's been going on has been god awful and terrible. It's been
and I
super unstructured.
And SBI neglected to mention one piece of this as well. Agents.
That too.
Agent part is a part of this as well. Because again, you know, what's Players Association, I'm saying NBA Players Association, NFL, they put a restriction on how much agents can get. So normally it's up to a certain percentage, and I don't want to quote what the percentage is, but I generally think it's like 5 to 7% is the cap that they can get, you know, or whatever from a player for negotiated deals. So, you know, again, unless, you know, there's some other thing out there, and again, I don't want to, don't quote me as the
source,
but because again, it does change. But what I'm saying is that there's that piece. So if you're a college coach and you were interested in talking to a kid and recruiting a kid, you can't just go directly to that kid anymore. If that kid has a representative, you got to go to that representative. And hope that representative brokers a meeting, you know, sets a meeting with you and the kid and the parents. And so it's just a lot more minutia than I think they even realize would come with this. And again, like you said, it's not that kids shouldn't have gotten paid. Kids, these student athletes should have been paid for years.
Agreed. Right?
For years. It's that there needs to be, even with that, there still needs to be some structure and regulation. If the idea ultimately is to make sure we keep some level of competitive balance in college sports. And that, to me, is the long-term problem that we're having, we're going to see, is that that's not going to exist in this current environment.
No, it's not going to exist. Now, Sean, time for the picks of the week. But before we do the picks of the week, we have to do our injury bug of the week. Do you got somebody on the injury list that you don't wish that wasn't on the injury list?
Jonathan Taylor, running back from the Colts, is out for a third straight week. Yep. Could be a key factor in this week's game against Miami. Jonathan Taylor will be my injury bug of the week.
Okay, mine was definitely Jonathan Taylor. I'm looking at it. And also, I'm looking at the injury list. Dallas Goedert for me, because he's on my fantasy team. I need you. Best tight end in the fantasy.
He's not the best tight end in the game, but, you know.
Fantasy, I need my boy to come back.
He's okay in fantasy. He's all right.
He gets the job done, man.
He does get the job done.
Yeah, Sean, it's that time of the show.
SB and Sean NFL Picks of the Week.
SB and Sean NFL Picks of the Week. Sean got last week, and even though I tried to switch and get a tab because of the Jets and Bills game, but it wouldn't have mattered. I still would have lost because the Jets sold. But we here for a new week. Well, 4-2. 4-2 now. Sean 2-4. But how many key games we got this week?
We have 4 key games this week, SB. Okay. 4 key games out of 15. Well, 14, should I say, because we don't pick the Thursday night game. But first game of the week, Sunday morning in London, New England Patriots at Jacksonville Jaguars.
True, I'm sorry. Wait, this is Drake May's first start, right? Or no, he had his first start already, right?
This is Drake May's second start.
I said, shout out to the Jets for losing. It's the crazy part about this is that's actually a toss-up game. Both teams are 1-5. The Jaguars have not looked good. The Patriots are rebuilding, so I'm not going to be mad at the Patriots for being trash right now. They're trying to be trash. I can see the Patriots. See, something tells me, but I think if True, because True here, and if I pick the Patriots and they win, True ain't going to let me hear the end of it. But, okay, I'm going to give your team one chance this week because I don't trust the Jaguars. The Jaguars have been terrible. I'm going to take the Patriots.
You're going to take the Patriots.
The score of the game will probably be like 7-3 or 10-3. Well, yeah, and that's why I'm going to pick the Patriots, because I think they're going to win in a close game. Do not trust the Jaguars.
Jaguars have been in London for this is their second straight game in London. They played the Bears last week in London.
The dog beat the beats put on them.
Yes. I think it's gonna be a very close game.
Mm-hmm.
But the Patriots do concern me again. You know, Drake May showed last week, some things obviously. But I just think they are still, really deficient offensively. So I'm going to take Jacksonville in this one, and you took the Patriots. So
you see what True said? No, you mean not Jacksonville, the London Jaguars. The London Jaguars.
Well, I mean, you know.
They're from London.
Yeah. So okay. I'm going to take the Jaguars by 3.
Okay, cool.
Next game, Seattle Seahawks at the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, I'm rocking with Atlanta. Atlanta hot, man. You see Kirk walking your trap, take over your trap, man. They done took that man to Waffle House. He ain't been the same, Sean. He been to Atlanta 2 seconds.
Yes. Seahawks have been interesting. They started out 3-0. They've lost their last 3. That Giants loss is still inexcusable.
100%.
But that said, I told you in the beginning of the season, I believe the Falcons were a real, really good team. And so I'm taking Atlanta at home. I'm going to take the Falcons at home by 6.
Never agree with that one. Falcons like that series. I wouldn't want to play the Falcons in the playoffs. I'm not gonna lie. First round, I wouldn't want to play the Falcons.
Yeah, no. Next game, Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills. Amari Cooper, new Buffalo Bill.
Oh yeah, expect of Amari, maybe Amari Cooper touchdown. But I don't know that the Titans defense is
The Titans defense is actually they're statistically one of the best defenses in the league.
Their defense ain't no slouch, but we got to worry about the other side of the ball. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills.
I'm taking Buffalo at home as well. I know the Titans, again, I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. Because I think, again, both defenses will play well. But that said, I'm going with Buffalo at home by 7.
True said Bills, unfortunately, is crazy. Big Bills.
Next game, Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Nick Chubb back for the Browns.
I feel bad for Nick Chubb because he just came back, just got healthy. Now Deshaun Watson, they got somebody to throw the ball to, so everybody know you getting the ball. I'm stacking the box, and Deshaun Watson, they look good. This was actually a tougher one to call because Nick Chubb is back. That's a whole different dynamic we talk about. But I just don't Deshaun Watson, dog. I'm gonna go Bengals. I'm gonna go Bengals to be safe. My backup, my first man telling me Browns, but until they show me, I want to be wrong. Until they show me. I don't trust him. I'm gonna go Bengals.
This is a game, probably the two of the more disappointing teams in the NFL, even though again, I'm not surprised by Cincinnati being so different, disappointing. This game feels like Cleveland will find a way to play ball control. Again, they're not I'm guessing they're gonna have Chubb on a snap count, not rushing, throwing back in there, even though Jerome Ford is out this week. They're not going to just ask, Chubb to go out and, carry the ball 30 times.
I hope not.
Back in. If I'm Cleveland, I want to play ball control. I want to keep Burrow and Chase Higgins on the sideline as much as possible. And as I think someone mentioned in the chat, the Browns defense does give Joe Burrow. They give a lot of people, when they're playing at their peak, they give a lot of people problems. But in particular in the division, they do give that Cincinnati offense all they can handle. I don't know if Cincinnati will run the ball well enough to keep that defensive line off of Joe Burrow. So I'm going to take the Browns at home by 4. And I'm doing this in spite of Deshaun Watson playing quarterback because, again,
I can't trust him.
And it, to me, never mind.
Nope.
Yeah.
What's next?
Next game, Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts.
I think Anthony Richardson should be back now.
Anthony Richardson is back starting. Again, no Jonathan Taylor for the Colts, but Anthony Richardson will be starting.
Who's the quarterback for the Dolphins?
Should be Snoop Huntley, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I know it ain't Tua.
I know it definitely it ain't Tua. I'm gonna take the Colts because the Dolphins offense has been horrendous so far. And I can see the Colts making plays. So I'm gonna take the Colts.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Colts at home as well. For as much as people talk about, Tua being out and blah, 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 to me, the person the Colts or the Dolphins missed the most is Christian Wilkins. They never really replaced him, and he was a monster for them defensively. I just think they didn't replace him, and obviously, he went on to get $100 million contract from the Raiders. But that said, I'm going to take the Colts at home in a close one just because, again, like you said, Miami's offense is non-existent, but so I'll take the Colts.
Colts attack game. What's next?
Next game, return to Saquon Barkley, Philadelphia at the New York Giants.
We ain't got to waste time on this Eagles, and we can just move on. I know you picking the Eagles, too. We can just move on. Eagles, agreed, move on. There ain't no way. This Ed is in New York. Saquon Barkley probably was healthy a week ago, but he was like, you know, I'm going to get some extra rest for this game back in New York. I'm expecting a 2 to maybe 3 touchdown game for Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to lie. Hey, put the parlays in, y'all. I'm trying to 2 touchdown Barkley.
Yeah, I'm taking Philly in New York. Last time they played in New York, it was they crapped the bed. They understand they need to get rolling. They really do need to get rolling. And Sirianni, you know, do not turn your back to the field. Keep facing the field. Do not turn your back to the field. Your back will be to the crowd. Please keep your back to the crowd in this game. But that said, I'm taking the Eagles by 6. I think the Eagles start to get rolling here.
Okay, what's next?
Going to some of the later games. Las Vegas Raiders at the LA Rams.
I got to see the Raiders lose. So LA Rams, I got to see the Raiders lose. Raiders got to lose. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams as well. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the uglier games, I think.
Oh, 100%. I just want the Raiders to lose. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, only because they're at home, even though I do think it's probably going to be more Raiders fans at the game than Rams.
Oh, 100%.
So it's going to feel like a Raiders home game. Mm-hmm. But that said, I'm going to take the Rams at home by 2.
And I don't understand that, like, you see how locked in the Raiders fan base in L.A. and you just pick – well, I get – they should have did this before the Rams or the Chargers with L.A. The Raiders belong in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Because I'm tired of watching Chargers versus Raiders game at home and I don't see no blue jerseys because they just took over the whole stadium. Like, it'd be ridiculous, man. Just why y'all go to Vegas? Y'all should have just stayed in L.A. The Rams should have went to Vegas or something.
I mean, Raider Nation travels anyway, but I understand your point.
Tired of seeing them black jerseys, man. Be everywhere. Be pirates everywhere to see the shield. Dude, I'm tired of seeing him, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Next game.
I let my pain out, Sean.
It's fine. Next game, Carolina Panthers at the Washington Commanders.
Woo-wee. I seen a video of what's his name? Daniels, the quarterback.
Yes.
After that Ravens loss in practice, yeah, this game gonna be a statement game. I'm expecting a big game from him. God, wow. Going back into like the beginning of the season, you will see this game on the list. You like, oh, this is gonna be a terrible Commanders versus Panthers. I might want to watch that. The Commanders actually look. I might have to tune in and see Daniels go off for like 350, 3 touchdowns real quick because you know the Panthers gonna give up a lot of points. So I'm going to Commanders.
Yeah, I'm going Commanders by 14 in this one. I think the I think Carolina should just go ahead and turn it back over to Bryce Young. Stop playing around. Just turn it back over to Bryce Young. Quit playing.
He's not wasting that man's snaps.
But that's it. You know, Commanders coming off a tough loss in Baltimore last week. Obviously, you know, got a reminder they still got a little ways to go. But this is a get-right game for them. So I'm taking them at home by 14.
Mm-hmm.
Next game, Sunday Night Football. New York Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Devontae Adams first game. I wonder how many passes he's gonna throw Devontae Adams this first game. Probably a lot. With Russell, then it's like Russell Wilson starting too. So yeah, I'm taking the Jets. I don't like the pick, but because I don't trust either one of these teams. But Russell Wilson starting, and then yeah, no, I'm gonna take the Jets.
I'm taking the Steelers. I almost chose this as a key game just because of all of the drama. But I'm taking the Steelers, SB. I think the Jets cannot stop the run and have struggled stopping the run. I think this is a Najee Harris and Jay Warren type of game. So I, I'm taking Pittsburgh. Also, is in Pittsburgh as well. Mm-hmm. I don't feel great about this because, again, you mentioned Russell Wilson. I would feel better if Justin Fields were in fact starting. And again, to be clear, at the time of this recording and airing of this podcast, Mike Tomlin had not officially named a starter. So right. To be clear, but that said, all signs point to Russell Wilson starting. I would feel a lot easier picking Pittsburgh if Justin Fields was starting.
I would have picked the Steelers if Justin Fields was starting too.
Yeah. But that said, I'm picking the Steelers just because, again, I think their defense is really good at home. And again, Sunday Night Football, they're gonna be locked in. So I'm gonna take the Steelers at home by five.
Okay, what's next?
Next game, two Monday night games this week, but only one in this particular pick that we're making. On ESPN Plus, LA Chargers at the Arizona Cardinals.
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is still out, but you know what I'm picking, man. Balled up, baby. No reason needed while picking the Chargers. Y'all know. If you watch the show, you know why I'm picking the Chargers. Let's go. Balled up. Ball fam.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers by four. Marvin Harrison Jr., he was limited in practice today. Yeah. But it's, the game being on Monday, it's likely he may clear protocol. But that said, taking the Chargers on the road in this one.
True wild battle with a washed up QBs is crazy. Talk about some Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. You a fool, dog. Okay. Key games, right?
Key games of the week. Four key games of the week. Key matchups of the week. First key matchup. I think this is actually a potential Super Bowl matchup.
Okay.
Houston Texans at the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, I'm gonna go with my MVP. Damn, man. Before I go with my MVP pick in CJ Stroud, well, I already said it, I'm picking the Texans. This game is gonna be kind of closer than what a lot of people think it is, and it's also in Green Bay. It's hard to win up in Green Bay. But I think with Joe Mixon being back, that's gonna make the dynamic different for the Texans, make their offense much easier to play. And I don't think Jordan Love going to do enough to get the job done. But both teams are great. I'm taking the Texans.
You're taking the Texans?
Yes, sir.
I'm taking Green Bay at home in this one. I think this is going to be a very – first, this is, to me, this is probably the game I'm looking most forward to on Sunday, to be honest with you, just in terms of the matchup.
You said the game I was looking at. The game I'm going to watch real closest. We're going to talk about it in a second.
We'll talk about it in a second. But that said I think it's going to be a close game. But I do think, again, the only chance for the Texans to win this game is a lot of Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm. I
think see Green Bay really try to do a good job of trying to mix up some of the coverages that CJ Stroud is going to see. And I think CJ Stroud actually is probably going to have to use his legs a little bit in this game to give the Texans a chance. Jordan Love has worked some of the rust off. Coming back from the MCL injury as well. And, they figured out, Jayden Reed, Romeo Doubs, those guys got going in this offense. So because it's at home in Lambeau Field, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers at home by five. Next key matchup. NFC North, Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings.
This the game I'm talking about. I'm watching this game. This going to be a game.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, I know all y'all do like all this high score 30. Nah, this is going to be real gridiron, dirt, put your helmet in the grass type football. Because that Vikings defense is surreal. I still think right now you can have a good case saying it's the best defense in the league. You got this Lions team who is serious, and I want to see how their defense react without having Aiden Hutchinson. I still think they're going to miss them, obviously, but I still think they're going to be solid. I don't know, because this Vikings defense scares me, Sean. They have an 0-2. It's crazy. The Vikings undefeated right now. And it's at Minnesota.
I'm gonna take the Vikings. I feel like I'm gonna regret it.
Taking the Vikings. Game is in Minnesota, so it's not a bad choice. Not a bad choice.
Who you pick? I might switch if you pick the Vikings. I might switch just put it because I'm cool with either pick.
Minnesota's coming off their bye week. They were in London 2 weeks ago. Beat the Jets. They did struggle in that game, particularly offensively. Sam Darnold, you know, has come back down to earth a little bit, you know, with a hot start for the season. Obviously, you mentioned Aiden Hutchinson loss. Again, I think Detroit's going to do it by committee. They're not asking one guy to replace Aiden Hutchinson. And one thing I'll tell you this is about Detroit. If you watched them last week when they smacked the Cowboys, and they did smack the Cowboys, you know, if you, you know,
shout out to them for that.
Even when Hutchinson went out of the game, they were still very aggressive defensively. They didn't start playing, you know, a bunch of soft zones. Aaron Glenn was still, they were still playing a lot of man coverage. The matchup is going to be very interesting. Terrion Arnold, their rookie corner from Alabama, is going to be lined up mostly probably against Jay Jettis. Should be a pretty interesting matchup.
That's going to be a battle.
And, you know, and again, Detroit, we know offensively how creative they are. You know, I'm looking forward. This is going to, like you mentioned, this is probably my second favorite game of the day. Just in terms of the chess match between Ben Johnson and Brian Flores on both sides. I know we generally, you know, we talk key matchups. That to me is what the game is going to come down to.
Yes.
Ben Johnson's offense against Brian Flores' defense. I'm taking Detroit.
Okay. Minnesota.
I think Minnesota's due for their first loss. Not a bad loss, but
not a bad loss.
You know, but I think they're due for their first loss. So I'm taking the Lions by three.
Okay, Lions by three. That's going to be a good game. I'm watching that game.
That's going to be a good game. I will be monitoring that game, but I'm going to be locked in on the two brother quarterbacks in Green Bay.
What's next for the key game? We got what, one more or two more?
Two more key games. Yes. Next game, Super Bowl rematch, Kansas City Chiefs at the San Francisco 49ers.
I feel like the Chiefs going to find a way of winning this game. I want the Chiefs to lose so bad. It's to a point where, like, they didn't do – I can't even talk about this team, man. They found a way to just win every week, bro. Every week. I don't understand all the injuries, all the things this team needs. And they just patch them on, still find a way to win. Oh, my God. I'm taking the Chiefs, dog. I don't want to. I'm going to take the Chiefs, though.
I want to say in his career, Andy Reid is like 18-4 after a bye week. Coming off bye week. I'm taking the Chiefs.
The 49ers not going to beat them, man.
The 49ers have issues. And, you know, they have issues. And I know they're coming off a long break because they played on Thursday night last week. But that said, I'm taking the Chiefs. Be watching the game on mute because Tom Brady will be commentating. But that said,
I mean, he can't say certain stuff now. You know, he's limited now.
Yeah, which is only going to make it worse. Because he'd be talking about nothing.
Be talking about nothing.
I'm taking the Chiefs. So I just think their defense will be the difference. And again, you know, bringing Kareem Hunt back was a stroke of genius, obviously, because that's what they do. And the Niners just have way too many concerns for me. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last key game of the week.
Last key game of the week, Monday Night Football. Baltimore Ravens at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah. You know, man, look, man, the Raven flock. Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead and drop your birds, Tim, in the chat. Go ahead and drop Raven flocks in the chat. I know you're finna drop them. Ravens versus the Buccaneers. You know, the Ravens, they figured it out with Derrick Henry. This team looks good. Defense is slowly getting better. I'm taking the Buccaneers. with the upset, beating the Ravens. Monday Night Football. I'm taking Big Baker, and Big Baker gonna probably outplay Lamar Jackson. Take that, Tiffany. Risky pick, though. Risky pick, but I feel like this pick gonna make me win this week. Risky pick.
I think this is gonna be a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
Two very, you know, teams that want to play physically on, yes, on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference in this game,
mm-hmm,
for me is going to come down to kind of an unsung hero for Baltimore. And that unsung hero is Rashad Bateman. I think he will have one of those games on Monday night that, mm-hmm,
they gonna need it.
Because Todd Bowles traditionally wants to key in on a certain part of the game. Not that they're going to stop Derrick Henry, but I think they're going to key in on Derrick Henry defensively. So Bateman is the guy for me on Monday night that I think has a chance to do some big things as well. And it's Lamar. And, you know, they won four in a row after starting out 0-2. They found, you know, it's the Ravens, like, you know,
it's the Ravens. So, like, they're gonna find a way to win.
Yeah, so that's it. I'm taking Baltimore, on Monday night by four.
Also, the true comment said Ravens, Lamar Jackson, MVP, front runner, right? Did you see what Lamar Jackson said about the MVP?
They didn't care.
Yeah, I'm like, he trying to get the chat. He done had it too many times. At this point, they just giving it to Lamar just to give it to him. Like, hey, look, bro, you the best person with the stats. Your team look good. Just take the award. You give us everything. You give us the stats. You're winning. You sensation on the field. You giving us highlights. Look, just take the award. We can't just give it to Patrick Mahomes all the time, so we got to give it to you. But, yes, this has been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake the Base with SB and Sean. Sean, episode 10 and season 2, who you got?
Episode 10. Jersey 10. You know, I'm going off the reservation a little bit on this one.
Okay.
I'm going Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi. Ooh, I like that. That's different. I like that.
I actually have a Miami Messi jersey. I'll say Messi. Yeah.
I know. Wait a minute. Because the person I was gonna pick, I was gonna go off the wall a little bit too. Hold on. Yes, okay, yeah. My pick is still right. Okay. We're going one of my favorite crossovers. Tim Hardaway, gotta go. Between cross, gotta go. I'm going Tim Hardaway for episode 10. I had to make sure he wore 10 in Miami. I'm like, okay, I remember he wore 10.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm gonna go Tim Hardaway.
Met him many years ago. Whenever I say many, like when his son was playing at AU. Oh, very nice, very nice guy. We chatted for a little bit. And
Tim Hardaway, very cool.
And a very cool dude. But yeah,
Tim Hardaway, cool dude. But yeah, that is another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake the Base. Shout out everybody watching the show. Shout out everybody listening too. Thank you guys. We're going to see you guys on Monday. And don't forget, the 21st NBA preview prediction. Me and Sean are going to drop our NBA predictions on the 21st. Be there on Monday on all platforms. Thank you. This is SB and this is Sean. This has been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake Debates. And we are out of here.